Welcome to Meta Strategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Robert Ouellette to the broadcast. Bob is the Chief Executive Officer of Best Buy International, the strategic business unit of Best Buy Company Incorporated, focused on creating opportunities for growth and innovation outside of the United States. He was appointed to this role in February of 2006. Under Bob's leadership, Best Buy International has implemented a global integration and growth strategy to maximize the retailer's opportunities beyond North America while continuing to re-engineer the supply chain, mobile phone, and information technology functions that support the company's customer-centric transformation. Prior to his current role, Bob served as the Executive Vice President of Operations and Chief Information Officer for Best Buy, and today continues to lead the company's efforts to improve efficiencies and simplify its customer-centric operating model. Prior to joining Best Buy formally in 2003, Bob served as a special advisor to the Best Buy Board of Directors on issues related to operational efficiency and excellence. During his tenure with Accenture, he also served as a partner on the Process to Profits initiative that Best Buy undertook in the late 1990s. Bob previously was global managing partner for Accenture Consulting Retail Practice, where he worked with best-in-class retailers throughout the world on strategy reviews, business transformation, procurement and supply chain management, brand positioning, technology transformation, and customer segmentation. Bob launched his retail career in store management at Marks & Spencer, a leading British department store chain, in 1968, and has held executive positions including managing director and group chief executive for other retailers in Europe. CIO Magazine named Bob to the CIO Hall of Fame in 2008 to honor his significant contributions to the IT discipline, use of technology in business, and advancement of the CIO role. He was also recently named to the board of directors for Lighthouse Logic, an innovative provider of video analytics systems based in Canada. I recently caught up with Bob by phone in his office outside of Minneapolis, and our conversation covered Principle 1, People, as Bob described his use of Business Information Officers, or BIOs, to engage the business to develop technology innovations, Principle 5, External Partnerships, as we discussed Best Buy's decision to outsource most of IT and the benefits and lessons learned from that decision, as well as some other topics. Well, Bob Ouellette, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to participate and continue to learn.
Wonderful. Well, Bob, you've had many different roles in retail, from the retail floor at the beginning of your career to business leadership positions to the head of a consulting practice of a major consulting firm. And for the past several years, you've been the CIO as well as the CEO of Best Buy International. And I'm wondering, as someone who does not have a traditional IT background from your roots in the industry, how did you find your way into IT, and how did your training in business prepare you for your leadership positions in information technology?
It's a good question. In working with other retailers around the world over the many years with Accenture, and also as managing director and CEO of a number of retail organizations, it's very clear and becomes very evident that nothing happens in a multifaceted business, multi-located business, unless it's driven through technology. And so you quickly learn, and I learned maybe 20 years ago, that technology is really the agent of change. And your failure as a leader to understand how technology operates, even at a superficial level, and how you can take advantage of it, you're massively underestimating what it is that can be achieved.
Yes.
Once you get to grips with this and have a good understanding of how technology works and doesn't work, and it isn't a black magic box, you start to realize, wow, the potential is pretty phenomenal. And so through the consulting work particularly, but also the days in Littlewoods particularly, I started to get very close to technology, started to oversee it, understand it, spend a lot of time really listening, learning. And then when I got into the consulting practice, got involved in quite a number of major projects with real talented IT leadership and learned a great deal. Mm-hmm. And soon learned that this was complex, but actually no more complex than many other aspects of business, you know, like understanding balance sheets and P&Ls.
Yes.
And source and application of funds. Once you understand how those things work, you can leverage them. And technology is no different. And that's how I got into it. And now I'm pretty good at it. I won't say I'm excellent at it because I'm not excellent at anything, but I'm pretty good at it. I have a really good understanding of how it works, and I know how it doesn't work as well.
I see. Well, good. I wonder, is this a path that you see more IT leaders in the future taking, emerging from the business as a result, as a contrast to, you know, potentially having the computer science or engineering background and growing up from smaller IT positions within the department itself?
Yes, I think more and more, you know, you'll see CEOs coming up via the technology route as opposed to, you know, either the finance route or the marketing route. I think that will become more evident over the years, primarily because technology, unlike any other function, touches every single aspect of every business.
Great point.
And you know, if you as a CEO really understand how technology can help you, there's no question a CEO that has that grasp will do much better than one that doesn't.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I wonder, as you look to the future of retail IT, what do you see? What trends do you see emerging that will define the future of your industry? And what role do you see IT playing in separating leaders and laggards in the retail space?
Well, it's very clear, you know, that those retailers that invest heavily, you know, and I always link business technology as opposed to information technology. I refer to it as business technology. So it's not technology for technology's sake. It's business technology. Technology that will improve speed to market for your client or the retail business you're working in, and that's what I think is going to happen. We're all going to, I feel like, need to do a number of things. One, the use of knowledge and the use of data is becoming critical to everyone, and the more locations you have around the world, the more difficult it is to share knowledge and share insights so that you don't make the same damn mistakes, you know, over and over again. And
yes,
you also leverage those learnings. So you leverage an investment, whether it's a process investment or a technology investment in one part of the world, and you leverage it everywhere. And that's going to become more and more critical to really, you know, help you make a difference. And so I think that's how I would, that's what I think is going to be a fundamental difference to what's happened in the last 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're moving into this arena where technology is moving so fast in terms of its capabilities. We're moving, particularly in our business, into what I call the connected world, you know, where people buy products from us or solutions, PCs, TVs, and we want them all to work together and talk together so they maximize their investment. They get the maximum return from the product that they purchased or the service they purchased.
Yes.
And that it all talks together. That isn't possible today, and we believe we owe that to our consumers, and we believe that's Best Buy's real point of difference. And from an IT perspective, it's a particular challenge because you're asking vendors who are very very uncomfortable about sharing IP to share IP in the best interests of the consumer, which is always the key.
Yes. So,
always acting in the best interest of the consumer. And so I think those are the challenges, really. How do you partner with best-of-breed vendors? I hate the word vendor. How do you partner with best-of-breed systems or service solution providers? And how do you take your own core competences and put those things together? But the days when companies could actually do everything, the whole 360 degrees of running a business are over. And, you know, you have to concentrate on your core competences if you really want to make progress.
Yes. No, that's a great points. And it suggests, actually, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're also suggesting that IT leaders need to make sure that in order to understand what, in fact, are the core competencies, what is strategic versus that which is not, requires an even closer relationship with the business than perhaps historically was necessary.
It's inconceivable to me that businesses can make critical decisions without the CIO being a part of it.
Yes.
A, making sure that he or she understands what has to be achieved, but more importantly, hopefully, that the CIO will have a point of view as to how it can be done cheaper, smarter, quicker, better.
Yes.
And will know of some software out there that can enhance what the business is trying to do and get the business to a point quicker than it would do conventionally.
Yes.
And that's why they have to be a part of that. And they too, in turn, have to have a responsibility to make sure that they fully understand what the business is trying to do and are critical to that decision-making process, mm-hmm. as opposed to on the sidelines. That for me doesn't work anymore.
Yes. Oh, great point.
And that's why I call my leadership in technology BIOs, business information officers, as opposed to IT officers.
To underscore that relationship with the business and the importance that it has.
Yeah, and they're measured on the performance of their respective businesses, not the IT.
That's fantastic, and certainly a relatively new concept, one that we've not heard a lot about.
Yeah, well, I think it's the same for all of us. I mean, at the end of the day, business is a sort of complex matrix.
Yes.
And you have to make that matrix work in the smoothest possible way. And the only way to do that is to make sure that the critical people are involved and understand what you're trying to do, and they all feel they've got a part to play in the movie and can maximize their roles and responsibilities and bring their expertise to bear.
Yes. Well, you mentioned as one of the trends, engaging, I'll say, external partners instead of vendors. And in fact, not long after you joined Best Buy, the majority of the IT department was, in fact, outsourced. I wonder if you can describe the rationale behind this and the benefits you've garnered from having done so.
Yeah, I think, again, a great question, one that's asked very often and was asked very, very significantly here in the early days. And we put ourselves up for a transparent audit, both internally and externally, through the first 3 years of that process in order to make sure that we were doing what we said we were going to do and delivering the results we said we were going to deliver. So we put ourselves up for scrutiny. Mm-hmm. I think the technology function here when I arrived in 2003 was actually in pretty good shape and had done a pretty good job. But when you looked out over the future and said to yourself, this is where the business wants to get to. It wants to deliver customer centricity. My perspective was that we did not have the skills internally to do that. We had the skills internally to respond, but not be proactive or get ahead of technology curves. Most IT functions that I've seen across the world operate that way. They just about keep their head above water. They just about, keep the business where it wants to be. They don't get ahead of the curve. And a lot of that's to do with skills. And having the necessary skills on a particular topic at a particular time and new capabilities. And that's why we partnered. I hate the word outsource because, you don't outsource. Mm. People outsource to save money. You're daft.
Yeah.
Invariably, it doesn't work. And you've only got to look around the world to see the amount of litigation where someone's partnered with some company or other, one of the famous big outsourcers, to get a financial benefit that didn't arrive.
And, right.
There's really big cases out there, and you'll be aware of some of those.
Sure.
So for me, saving money is the fifth item. I mean, first of all, it's about, pace. Can we go faster? Can we get bring new skills and capabilities to the leadership in order to move the company faster? Can we reduce, our risks? Mm-hmm. That's also critical. And can we bring skills on board for specific pieces of work when we want them in short bursts, as opposed to having to employ them on a permanent basis, and then they get stale? And fifthly, costs.
Right.
So the fifth thing is cost. You don't outsource to save money. You want to do that ultimately, and we've done that. We've brought our TCO down from significantly high point to today. That's industry best practice, and that's been a real challenge. At the same time, building out a very complex business that was a traditional retail business, buying in bulk and selling in singles, in essence, that's where the business was a decade ago, mm-hmm. to a business now that has 18,000 geeks, that has a very big services element to it. So we
yes.
have to build scheduling, routing, dispatch. How would we do that normally on our own? And really then enter the connected world. And one of the reasons why Best Buy has stayed ahead of the game is that we've been building all of these capabilities, vanilla in the main, but we've been building them and integrating them and then building processes and skills around them to maximize them. You can't do that on your own.
Yes.
And so it became evident to me that thinking about where the business needed to go, we needed to partner. We don't partner just with one. We partner with multiple vendors.
Right.
We've got some great partnerships. And the one thing I've learned is that it's dangerous to have an overly strong relationship with one solution provider, one software provider. You know, we tried that many years ago. We had a, you know, we got very, very big with one particular vendor. And in the end, of course, it works against you because you lose your negotiating powers. Then you bring another second partner in and now a third one, and all of a sudden you get balance. So people should learn from my mistakes that, you know, you need to make sure that you keep the balance of power across the three vendors or four vendors, and never get into too deeply with one, because if you do, you're going to end up in trouble and you'll lose your ability to negotiate. And we have no intention of doing that. But I did go down that route of trying to form a partnership with one particular vendor. That didn't work. In fact, it cost us a year in terms of lost time. Goodness. We then went to another one, and we've now made sure we've got a balance between two majors, software providers, and in fact, we've actually got several others as well. And that way, you keep a balance and you maximize shareholder value, which is critical.
Yes. Staying on that topic for just a little longer, Bob, I wonder, I know that as I've spoken with others who've contemplated engaging in major partnerships, strategic partnerships like the ones you've mentioned, one of the concerns that's been raised has been, how does one differentiate from the competition? If for instance, the same partner is used by multiple companies in the same industry or in related industries, what's the process then to make sure that the best ideas are brought to bear on behalf of you? How do you provide incentives to the partner so that they continue to innovate and think through new and unique ideas on your behalf as opposed to the competition? Can you talk a bit about how you've engaged external partners to make sure that in fact transpires and that you are continuing to differentiate yourself from the competition?
Well, first of all, for me, the technology isn't what differentiates with you. It's what you do with the technology that differentiates you.
Great point.
You know, you can, and I'm trying to think of the world famous motor racing ace now that was around for years driving for Williams, name escapes me. And he used to win all the Grand Prix.
Yes.
And yet his car was no different from anybody else's car. So my point really is that we protect anything that is sensitive around customer centricity. So technology, software that is really critical to the core of customer information and how we manage that and turn it into insights. We are very protective of and write all sorts of stringent rules so that people can't use it elsewhere for a significant period of time, if at all.
Yes.
But after that, you know, how one uses supply chain technology, how you use point-of-sale systems, it's about what you do with those systems, not the systems themselves. So I think people worry too much about the wrong things. I guarantee now that if you put two people in a room and gave them exactly the same software, I guarantee they wouldn't use it the same way.
Right.
Guarantee it. Great. And that's no different to running a business.
Yes.
No different. So the fact is, it's beneficial because if I've got a software provider that's actually worked for another major retailer in installing a particular piece of software,
yes,
and I know it works, which, you know, is also a very important factor these days because you always get a lot of people wanting to sell you things, making sure it works is another issue. And most people overpromise anyway. So you've got to be a little bit skeptical about these things. And so if there's someone out there that's actually done it and there's a retailer out there that I can go and talk to, that actually gives me great comfort. It also reduces my risk. So
yes.
Why should I worry that they have the same technology?
Great point.
They're not going to use it the same way that I'm going to use it.
Yes.
Guaranteed. And that's the thing to worry about. Mm-hmm. The secret sauce of Best Buy isn't its systems. It's its people and how its people, the blue shirts particularly, but how people generally in the corporate office as well, how people use the data to really differentiate and really maximize the brand trust called Best Buy. How do they do that? That's different.
Yes.
And so I maintain that that's the real point of difference, not systems, not processes, not bricks and mortar, but the people. That's the difference between a really strong, a good company than one that's the same as everybody else.
That's a great point. And to connect the dots with an earlier portion of our conversation, I suppose it's the fact that you have these BIOs, these people that are so wedded with the business, in fact, essentially part of the business, that it's that creative process that's bringing about the new ideas, and therefore the innovation is truly still centered around employees developing the best ideas and partners helping deliver upon those. Is that an appropriate way to frame this?
Yes, it is. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we partner with maybe 10, 15 different key providers across the world. At the end of the day, we steer the boat, they row the boat. I mean, it's our strategy. Right. We control it. We're never out of control of that. We always stay in control of it, and we drive that hard. So it's the best buy agenda that's critical. And all of these other providers come together to help us deliver that agenda. Mm-hmm. And what we're looking for is people that have synergistic strategies, development strategies, that are spending their capital, their revenue, to build capability that Best Buy needs to differentiate. And that's the optimum. And they make money that way. We get a capability, and we draw ourselves further and further away from the competition and yes, put lots of blue sky between us. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, vanilla is critical. You know, doing your own developments these days takes too long. Generally speaking, things overrun,
yes,
over cost and overrun in terms of time.
Yes.
So working with partners that do this for a living is better than you trying to do it.
Exactly.
Generally speaking. Yeah, yes. There are the exceptions. And, you know, have we made mistakes? Yes, we have. Have we, you know, made the wrong selection on an occasion? Yes, we have.
Yes.
And we've had to remedy that. But when you're at the leading edge or even bleeding edge of technologies, from a retail perspective, building a services retail business, there's no one else out there to copy. So you're actually in that sort of danger zone in many ways.
Yes.
And so that's why it's important that the partners you work with know what they're talking about, and that they trust you and you trust them.
Makes a lot of sense. Can you, given the prominence of this BIO role, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what sorts of skills you look for in finding people to serve in those sorts of positions?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, first of all, they have to be chameleon-like, because they have to serve multiple parties.
Yes.
Multiple parties, geography. We run processes across the enterprise, irrespective of geography. So the supply chain BIO, the back office systems BIO is responsible across all countries and all geographies. You know, it's unlike the functions which you can run geographically. If you start doing that from a technology perspective, you'll develop a unique and expensive hairball, and nothing will talk to one another.
Yes.
And the object here is to build a infrastructure or road network down which systems capabilities can flow into whatever country that we want them to be in. And so you maximize your investment, your shareholder investment that way. You're maximizing it, and you're getting speed to market. That's the subtle difference.
Okay, that's great. I wonder, actually, just one other another question about engaging external partners. It strikes me that there's, in the way in which you operate, a greater need for a cultural fit in contemplating which partners to engage with. And I wonder to what extent you take into consideration the culture of the external partners in which you engage and how you do that.
Yeah, I think I come back, first of all, and say that if the culture isn't right between you, then you shouldn't do it. I mean, I've made mistakes before where, you know, you've seen something that works, but the culture of the company that you're working with isn't consistent with your own, and it becomes a real difficult relationship. So culture, values are critical. Are we all acting in the best interest of our customers? Are we maximizing shareholder value? Are we genuinely building an environment where employees, blue shirts, really feel that they have a genuine part to play in the movie? Are we building capabilities and tools that enables them to really maximize their time with the customer? That's what mm-hmm. we're trying. So you have to have the right culture. And that's one of the critical roles of a BIO, that, you know, they have to have a great cultural fit. They have to be chameleon-like, as I've said. They have to be good listeners. But they have to be also, at the end of the day, expert in their respective areas so that the business trusts them. And that means pushing back.
Yes.
Saying no. Because You know, it's too easy. Everybody wants systems to say yes to everything. And the reality is, if you do that, you end up in a mess. You know, you want to listen to what the outputs are of the business. And then the BIO's job is to create the inputs to provide the business with the outputs.
Yes.
And they have to be expert at doing that. So they have to be chameleon-like, they have to be very good listeners, and they have to be good partners. But at the same time, they have to be, you know, very strong in what they want to do and how the whole thing comes together, because they all come together then to produce this blueprint, or BOB as we call it here, the business operating blueprint, which is, where is the business going? How does the IT architecture, middleware, software, optimizers, how do they all come together to build this SOA, but also to build an infrastructure that we can leverage across the world as opposed to one country at a time?
Yes.
That's tough. That's very tough, because everybody wants something different, you know, pink with blue spots, pink with red spots. And the reality is, you know, I look at things as a tree. Everything below ground that the customer can't see, we want to optimize and leverage to death. Everything above ground by country, we want to individualize by country.
I see.
And the BIOs have to get that balance right.
Okay.
But it's a tough call. It's a tough call.
Yes. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Bob Ouellette, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT. What a fascinating discussion. It's been great to understand the ways in which you have operated what is no doubt a leader in the retail space, and the way in which technology has enabled all of that. So thank you for your time.
My pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about how the team here at Best Buy works, because at the end of the day, it's a team exercise. It's not about one individual, and that's the strength of what Best Buy stands for. It's a great team. Thank you.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. This forum has been created so that we might have a series of discussions with a variety of IT leaders to understand, evaluate, and define world-class performance as it relates to MetaStrategy's five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it's nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. If systems and hardware work reliably, on the other hand, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and quality assurance, through to support and all other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Christian Dooley. Our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.